making us perfect, mature. Thank Him for His love and mercy and grace He's given us in this time that we're living in. I'm thankful for the call of God in my life. Amen. To know who we are, where we are, and where we're going. Amen. What grace has been extended to us. Let's just bow our hearts. Father, we just ask You once again to come, Lord, and minister tonight. Lord, and meet needs and touch hearts and lives, we pray, as only You can do. Strengthen the weak, Lord. Heal the sick. Save the lost, Lord. Deliver the bound, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to John chapter 14, verse 1. John chapter 14 and verse 1. I'd like to speak to you this evening on faith brings peace. Amen. Faith brings peace. John chapter 14 and verse 1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way, you know." Down to verse 25. "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Amen. We'll let you be seated. We could, of course, read the scriptures in Timothy and Daniel of the last days, perilous times shall come, and or a time of trouble such as never was seen. And we know that we're living in that time. We're living at the very closing of time. And we know that it's getting darker and darker as each day progresses. You know, and many times when we don't see how things will turn out, or we don't know how things are going to turn out, we tend to worry and we tend to fret. And this allows doubt to rise in our hearts. And because we can't see with our eyes and how the story ends, you know, it allows doubt to come. And if you're not careful, it'll turn even to unbelief. You know, I was looking at this thought, and I ran across something that was very interesting. I've heard about this before of a moose, how a moose is very dangerous, actually, if you're up there in the north there in the winter country and things, and on a snowmobile or skis. You have to watch out for them more than you do grizzly bears. And the reason why is they're so aggressive is they don't have good eyesight. And a moose, you know, it's become very aggressive because it has poor eyesight. And when you have poor eyesight, you view everything as a threat. And, you know, and when we can't see the future, we tend to feel threatened. You know, if we don't know how things will go, worry sets in and we become afraid. And you know, maybe don't know how our employment's going to go, or job's going to go, or how our life's going to turn out, and we feel threatened. But God gives us an alternative to this feeling of threatened or being afraid, and that's to trust. Amen. You know, faith brings trust, and trust brings peace. Trust isn't something you can choose because you feel like it. Amen. It's not something that you choose because you feel like trusting, but we have faith in a God who has a word that will not fail. And we trust, though we cannot see with our natural senses, and we can have a peace in the middle of our storm. And you choose to believe no matter what, and trust follows. See, faith is something you choose even when you feel anything but calm. Amen. You choose it even if you feel worry or you feel doubt creeping in. Amen. You have to turn back to faith. And that faith will bring a trust, and that trust will bring a peace even when you cannot see the answer. Even though the circumstances are blurry and your vision of the future is unclear, faith will give you a trust. And trust will give you a peace. We can read about that in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. It says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he," what? "Trusteth in thee." Amen. Because of this trust, it brings a perfect peace. Amen. That in the middle of struggles, in the middle of perilous times, or the time of trouble like never before, amen, we can still have a trust because there's a word that cannot fail. There's a God who stands behind his word. And it's what he said in John chapter 14 and verse 27. He said, "Peace I live with thee. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." In other words, this isn't a peace that dependent upon how the world is going, or how the economy is going, or how things are around you and your circumstances. This ain't the peace that he gives us. You know, if we're dependent on our own peace and our own comfort and things, you know, it's only a temporary thing, because sooner or later you'll go through a trial, you go through sickness, you'll go through something you didn't see coming, and that peace will leave you. But if you have the peace of God in your heart, that peace of God is not dependent upon what the world is doing, or what the world is saying, or how many missiles are being fired here, or what's happening over here. That peace of God is depending only upon his word. And that word has never failed one time. That word is something we can stand upon, amen, in the darkest of hours, in the darkest of times. It's something that you can really trust. You may not can trust man's words, or the president's words, or anybody's words, but you can trust God's word, because he cannot lie. He said, "If it wasn't the truth, I would have told you so. I would have told you," amen, "exactly what was going to be." And this is where he was telling us, "Let not your heart be troubled, but believe in me, have faith in me, that I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And there where I am, you may be also, because in my Father's house are many mansions." I don't know about you, but I like how it's been said before. I'm not looking for necessarily a great mansion, a 5-bedroom house or whatever. I'm looking for a mansion about this tall and dark-headed, dark-eyed, amen, and perfect health and perfect peace, and never have a mind trouble or never have heart trouble, never have anything like that again. No sickness, no worry. That's the kind of mansion I'm looking for. I don't know about you, but I ain't interested in exactly what house I'm going to live in, or if there even be a house. I'm not worried about all of that. I know he has went to prepare me a body. Amen. A body that I can dwell in throughout eternity, that will not decay or grow old. Amen. What a mansion that is. Amen. So our faith must rest in God's word that will not fail. And then we can have a trust that will produce peace in the middle of your storm. So we're in perilous times and it's getting worse. We're in a time of trouble and it's getting worse. But at that time, if we finish that scripture in the time of trouble, but at that time, his people shall be delivered. Everyone whose name is written on the book, they shall be delivered. How many is thankful for that word right there? Because we're in a time of trouble and it's getting worse and it's going to get worse. But we should know, amen, in this moment, if we can trust that and we can see that being fulfilled, then why won't the rest of it be fulfilled? It will be fulfilled. Amen. They shall be delivered. You know, we can read in Judges chapter 6 and verse 11 about Gideon and how, you know, he was hiding. It was a time of trouble. It was the Midianites would come and steal their crops, and they'd been in a big, you know, they have nothing to live on because the Midianites would come in and steal it all the time. And here he is hiding in the threshing floor. And if you've ever seen a threshing floor, it's a place, it's a low place. And so he's hiding in this place so he could try to thresh his wheat, actually in the wine press. And there he is, he's doing all of this, hiding from the Midianites. And all of a sudden he sees somebody standing before him. And he looks at this and he's wondering, is he real or is he an angel? And the Lord said, and the Lord began to speak to him. An angel appeared and the Lord said, "Go and in thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of Midianites. Have I not sent thee? And he said to him, O Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. So he throwed up all of his excuses. Amen. And the Lord said, surely I will be with thee. Amen. And thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And now he's now looking, okay, Lord, if this is really you, you know, he had to have a fleece. And so he goes gather some flesh and some unleavened cakes, and he brings them and presents them before him. And the angel says, put them there. And he puts them in a place, and the angel touched them with, amen, touched them with his with the fire of God, and it burned it all up. And then Gideon said, perceive, he was an angel. And he's still standing there, oh Lord God, for because I've seen the angel face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. My God, in the middle of struggles, in the middle of trouble, do you not know that's exactly what John 14 said? Amen. Don't let your heart be troubled. You're not going to die. But I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. And Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom until this day. Amen. Why? Because in the middle of his struggle, in the middle of his trial, in the middle, if he could just trust God, God would give him peace. And he took this peace with him. And when he didn't have a great army, when he didn't have many men, and he didn't have great armament, he held the battle and he destroyed the Midianites. Why? Because he trusted in his God. Amen. Amen. God has given you his peace. He paid a terrible price so you could have his peace. The Bible says the chastisement of our peace were upon him. Let's look at that. Isaiah 53 and verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we would desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. That the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Amen. What happened there on that day was a very peculiar thing. To the onlookers, it might appear that he was suffering on his own behalf. Come on. Because of his own sins. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Amen. However, the opposite was true. The but that's there. But that begins verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised, but he was bruised for our iniquities. Amen. What is it? He was bruised. The innocent one suffered for the guilty one. Amen. The righteous one suffered for the unrighteous. The transgression were ours. The mortal wounds belonged to us. But he was pierced instead. Hallelujah. Ours were the iniquities, and so was the crushing and the disfiguring bruises, but he took them upon himself. The stripes that fell on his back should have rightly been yours, should have rightly been mine, but he let them be on his so you could be healed. In a word, he took what belonged to us and gave us what belonged to him. Oh, God. Maybe I got to read that one more time. He took what belonged to you. He took your iniquities. He took your transgressions. And he took it and gave you back what belonged to him. His peace. In other words, the world's idea of justice was turned upside down. And it was done so that the world could be put up right. Amen. God, I just about had a fit reading this. Consider now how chastisement had become peace. The Hebrew word for chastise is musar. It may be corporal or verbal. It may be an instruction or a discipline or a rebuke or a punishment. Chastisement by words indicate that the purpose is to instruct. But what Isaiah speaks of a chastisement is a chastisement of wounds. It's a chastisement of bruises and stripes. And the purpose is for peace. Amen. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. It's much more than the absence of conflict or the ceasing of hostilities. It's a wholeness. It's what was once missing is now restored. It's what was once broken is now healed. He done all this so when you get sick, you can be at peace. That his word said you can be healed. He done this so when you were found guilty in sin, you can have peace because he took it all and he gave you what was his. Jesus, the Son of God, became flesh. He had no lack. Nothing was missing. Nothing was broken. The lack was ours. We had a broken relationship with God from the fall. The creation was broken. We had broken with each other, broken with our own selves. The chastisement should have been on us, but he let it come upon him so we could have his peace, his shalom, his wholeness. Hallelujah. He took your brokenness so you could have his wholeness. He took your discouragement so you could have his peace. He took your fears and worries so you could have his faith. He did all of this so you could be at peace. That you would go through a trial and be at peace. That's a paradox. That you could go through sickness and be at peace. That you can go through a hardship of financial hardship and be at peace. Why can I be at peace in a financial hardship? Because he said he's Jehovah Jireh. Amen. He's more than enough. He's our provider. Amen. Why can I be at peace when I'm in the middle of a heart sickness? Why can I have that peace? Because he's Jehovah Rapha. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. He's a comforter. He's all of that we have need of. Brother Branham would preach from this scripture in Isaiah 60, "Arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." Amen. "Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." So the world is in darkness, but upon the bride is light. The glory of the Lord is shining upon thee. His face is shining towards thee. He said, this is an odd word to preach, but shalom, it means peace. It means God's peace. God's peace. He said, it was a New Year's message. He said, it's to the church elected in Jesus Christ, not just the church groups, but the elect, the lady of the church, Christ's bride. That's who I'm addressing. Amen. The two scriptures are a very contrast, one and the other. Arise and shine, for the glory has come upon you. And the very next scripture is gross darkness upon the people. Amen. So we're a people living with light upon us, but living in darkness. Amen. There's darkness all around us. Amen. So in the middle of darkness, I can have peace. Why? Because the light of God is a light unto my path. We preached on light sometimes ago, and we talked about the light. His word is a light unto our path. That's right. And we spoke about how that sometimes we don't the light don't shine all the way to the end, right. But it's enough light to see the next step. Right. You just walk as because it's a walk of faith. Amen. If he shined a big old bright light all the way down to the end and said that's how it's going to be, it wouldn't be faith no more. But he wants you to walk by faith and not by sight. So you're just taking one step at a time, one moment at a time. Amen. And you can do it while darkness is all around you. And you may not be able to see 3 or 4 foot in front of you. And it's so dark and gross darkness is upon the people. And there's howling in darkness, people chained in darkness. And in the middle of it, the bride of Jesus Christ can be at peace. Why? Because the word has declared it to be thus. Arise and shine, for the glory of God has come upon you. The light is here. Gross darkness upon the people. So if you're walking by anything other than the light of God, you're in darkness. Amen. He said we're facing this year, we're facing both darkness and light. Excuse me. This old voice has tried to hang bad for a while. I'm tired of it. The world is in one of the most chaotic times of darkness it's ever stood in. Now, this is 1964. Somebody with some math skills, tell me how many years that is. That's 60 years. 60 years past this statement. The world is in one of the most chaotic times of darkness that it's ever stood in. And it goes into the darkness that it's dealing with, and it was dealing with men trying to be women and women trying to be men and how they're dressing and how they're acting. He said, you can't hardly find a manly man no more. That was in 64. God have mercy. Where are we at today? Matter of fact, a manly man is looked down upon and sneered at and made fun of. Amen. And a manly woman is lifted up out of her position and out of her place. Yes. That's the darkness that we're in. Yes. Amen. Right. Amen. We can't get to the place when a minister begins to correct something that we get all out of sorts and out of order and we get all tore up about it. Don't let the political spirits come into your spirit. Amen. We got political spirits that are moving in this world. I think it's very ironic that right here they're defunding the police. What was the police, amen, equated to in the message? The Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. And they come down and they want to defund the police and take the control away and put it in the lawless people and allow them to do whatever they want to. Don't you know those same spirits are trying to move right into the church? And when the man of God begins to preach against something, he says, well, I can't believe that's a bunch of old nonsense. No, sir, it's the Holy Spirit crying out against it. Let's don't defund the Holy Spirit. Let's allow him to be powerful and moving among us and allow him to change our lives and to minister us. So we're facing this year both darkness and light. The world is in one of the most chaotic times of darkness. So that it's just like it was at the beginning when there was gross darkness upon the earth and the Spirit of God began to move upon the face of the water and a voice spoke and said, let there be light. And God separated the light from darkness and he's doing it again today. Amen. Amen. I believe that we're now living in the hour when God is separating light from darkness. He is pressing it to the other side of the world and light, that the light might be made manifest. He said, that's the church, the reason I say shalom to them is because that's God's peace. That's what I want to bring to you. Amen. Not looking back, but looking forward to the breaking of a new day. There's something great laying just ahead of us. We're 60 years down the road. How much closer are we to something great just ahead of us? Amen. Yeah, it's the greatest time of trouble. It's the days that are perilous. And men are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And they deny the power there. All of this, we see it taking place. But right in the middle of it, there's a bride walking through Satan's Eden. And she's at peace knowing God is in control. That no matter what she goes through, he's in control. Come on, let me get on that just for a moment. You might be in sickness, but he's in control. You might be in a trial, but he's in control. You might be, don't know where your next bill is coming from. Yeah. And that's money to pay something. But he is in control.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So it's shalom. We see it breaking over the horizon. He said, there's something great laying the word. The years has been the joy that we look forward to, the pressing, the coming of that great light. Talking about it, the eternals.
Amen.
Yes. And I want you to understand, we're not trying to put just something out in front of us like a carrot, but there is something out in front of us. It's called a body change.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We see it breaking over the horizon. We see it breaking between mortal and mortality. We see it breaking between heavens and earth. From the earthbound sickness and troubled world into the bright shining day of immortal life. And the mortal body and immortal earth that will never pass away. It's shalom to the church. It's light time coming for the believers. Hallelujah. But gross darkness for the people. Gross darkness upon the people. But now, he, like I said, he went through a whole time of darkness. And for sake of time, I'm not going to go through all that. But he brought it. He said, now what? He said, I've spent a lot of time on darkness. But what about the light? He said, there is a light. So rise and shine, for the light has come. How can there be darkness and light? It's got to be separated. And it's happening. When the word is preached, light and darkness is separated. Amen. It's separated. The only thing that's separated is the word manifest. It presses the darkness to the other side. But when the manifested word of God, the Son, which is spoken into existence by the word, shows itself, darkness runs to the other side. That's what's taking place now. Darkness is separating itself from the light. Now to the elected church in this dark hour, he said, now I say shalom, God's peace. 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 Every true Hebrew knew when they meet one another, they say shalom. In other words, good morning. God be with you. God's peace go with you. It's good morning. How do you do?
Amen.
Hey, man, I'm going to say that to you tonight. Shalom.
Amen.
Which is good morning. How do you do? Why is it good morning? It's the evening time. Because the word has brought the light. And it's a light that is dawning in our hearts and our lives. And it's pushing back the darkness. So shalom. How do you do? Yeah, Brother Timothy, I tell you what, I've been so worried. No, quit looking at the darkness. I've been so tore up about what I'm going through. Quit looking at the darkness. Maybe your vision with your eyes is all blurry and you can't see. Maybe we're almost where to take the next step. Quit looking and worrying about that. Just know when you step, there'll be another word there for you to step on. There'll never be another place that you can step and a light to illuminate it and allow you to move here and to move here and to move there. Why? Because God will not let his children be forsaken. He's not going to allow it to come down into this time and where we're at and the darkness is here and all the light to go out. No, when the light goes out, that means we have left. You're talking about darkness. This room looks bright because of all the lights. We started letting it go out one at a time. That's what is happening right now, actually. Why is it getting darker? Because our loved ones are going on over to the other side. More light's moving over there. But that light's not going to stay over there. It's going to press back this way. And it's going to push the darkness away. Until we can see them as they see. Won't have that blurry vision no more. We won't have those weird feelings no more. We won't have all that icky, icky darkness around us no more. No, we will be standing in complete light. Shalom. Peace. It's good morning to the church. Why you say that? Because Christ is appearing among us. The morning light, the morning star. He's appearing among us. When we see darkness settling, darkness, it gets darkest just before the day. We know that the morning star is hanging yonder to introduce the coming sun. And when the morning star shines, it's the go-between. It's always darkest just a few minutes before the day. The blackout comes and the moon fails to shine. Darkness before the day is because the light is pressing the darkness. So don't think the darkness is getting greater. The light's getting stronger. And it's pressing the darkness. And the morning star comes out and says, good morning. Shalom. Oh God, let me be a sounding voice for him this evening. Good morning. You're not going down into darkness. You're going into the breaking of day. That's him among us. His word being identified, shalom. The great day is beginning to break. The morning breaks eternal, bright, and fair. When his chosen ones shall gather in the home beyond the skies, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Our names are on his book. We will be there. Oh, that's peace. Take that, you rotten devil. Our name is on his book. We will be there. Shalom, good morning, peace be unto you. The darkness is separating itself. So we are to arise and shine, for the light has come. Arise and shine the word. The light has been vindicated among us. That's what this message is. It is light.
Yes.
Amen. It's not, people want to walk away from it. I don't understand where you're walking to. All I know is when they leave, they get darker. I've seen it too many times. They can say they're free all they want to. That ain't the kind of freedom I want. And honestly, I'm as free as I want to be. I can smoke as much as I want to. I can drink as much as I want to. I can do all the sin I want to do, but I just don't want to. Why? Because my life has been changed. That's true freedom. Amen. You can take a pig out of the slop and you can purdy him up all you want to and put pink red lipstick on his lips and you can put a bow on his head. But you let that dude go one time. Where's he headed? He's headed right back to the mud. That wasn't true freedom. But if you could ever change the nature of that pig, he'll never want to go back to the mud again. That's true freedom. Amen. This is what we have experienced by the message of the hour that brought the token back, the fullness of the Holy Ghost. It brought a nature change in the life to where they don't want to go out there no more. So what about this year we're facing? He says we could have more to say on this, but from the darkness to the light, introducing the light. New year, new time, brings me hope. Well, why does it bring you hope, Brother Timothy, when it's getting worse? Because we're one step closer. We're one day closer. We're 1 minute closer. We're only one day closer than we was yesterday. We're 1 hour closer than when we started this service. Amen. We're moving minute by minute, second by second. Amen. You know, he said, New Year doesn't mean we're turning a new page. Oh, no. He said, like the man one morning, I heard it. Man got up early, went out, picked up the paper, came back, sat down, put up his feet, put the glasses on, began to read. Must have been over 40. His wife out getting breakfast said, John, anything new? Said, no, same old thing, just new people. Yeah. That's right, murders, rapes, everything, somebody else done it. But the same devil. Not turn a new page, just turn to the word. Amen. It's not turn a new page and you know, I just need a new start. Yeah, we can get a new start, but let's continue on. Amen. It's turn to the word of God. What we ought to do this year is not going back, but going forward. Amen. said, "Old church, turn to the Word. Get back to the Word. Flip the right switch." Hallelujah. He said, "They come by the old denominations, going back to the old creeds all the time and dogmas." He said, "See, they're just punching around on some light, see artificial man-made, but turn to the Word and see the promises of the day." Amen. It ain't changing the pages or changing the calendars. That doesn't change time. He said, a lot of people say, "Well, this old year's gone. Throw away the old December calendar now and put up another one, the new year." That's what new year means to them. To me, I wanted to see what's promised for this day. Amen. That's what's my heart's desire. God, what do you got in store for us this year? What do you got in store for us as service? What do you got in store for us? Amen. We see darkness, but we also see light. And we know you haven't left us or forsaken us there, because it's written in your Word, and your Word will not go fall to the ground, but it will be fulfilled. You said you'd be there until the end. It ain't the end yet, Lord, so we're still here. So we can be at peace, looking to see what's next. What's He going to do next? What life is He going to change next? What prodigal is He going to bring home next? What healing is He going to do next? What salvation is He going to do next? Come on, somebody. What family is He going to restore next? Amen. What marriage is He going to put back together next? Amen. Shalom. Peace. Don't be weary. Jesus is here. I remember reading this book when I was a kid. Read it over and over. I had this saying, Moonbeam or something. I had some character named Moon something. It said, "Never fear, Moon Bird or Moonbeam is here." And that was what their whole deal was. Don't fear, He's here. This character, don't fear, He's here. How much more should we be looking at the Word, saying, "Don't fear, He's here. Don't worry about it. He's got you. He's bringing peace. He brought peace to you. His great light has come to us. His Word, the great mysteries have been revealed to us. We see Him today being manifested, Him manifesting Himself, doing the same things He did then. So we don't have to worry. We have to look up and shine with the joy of the Lord, to know that I've been a privileged person, that my eyes have come open to see this day. And if He has allowed my eyes to come open to where I can see the day that I'm living in, and I can recognize Him in His presence, and then I can trust Him for the future, because I have seen Him vindicate His Word time after time after time, and He brought His Word, and He sent His Word, and He healed them. So there will be a millennium. Amen. The old will be young forever. Sickness will fade away. Death will be no more. We will build houses and we will inhabit them. We will plant vineyards and eat the fruit thereof. We'll not plant and another eat. We'll not build and another live in it. But we'll build and live. We'll plant and we'll eat. Nothing will be able to harm us. We'll be changed from what we are now into the glorious image of the Son of God. Years will never be able to touch you. Age can't do nothing to you. You will be the immortal son or daughter of God. What about the future? He holds it. How do I know when He's coming? I don't know, but He'll be there. Yes. How do you know that, Brother Timothy? Because He said He would. Right. He said, if it wasn't true, I would tell you. But He said it, so it has to be true. He's never let one other word fall to the ground, so why would He start now? Well, it's 2024. What difference did that make? It was 120 years that Noah waited, built an ark and hammered, and then after he got it all finished, he still had to wait. God's time is not man's time. We wanted a certain time, a certain way, a certain place, and it's got to be this way. And we get all in a tizzy and tore up about it. If it don't happen the way we thought it should have, You're not looking through the eyes of Christ. You're looking with your eyes. He knows the perfect times. He knows the perfect way. Amen. So we can have peace. We can have peace in the middle of our storm. Listen, he had it. You know the kind of peace he had? There was a storm rocking the boat. What was he doing? Sleeping. Not us. What's going to happen? This thing's about to go down. What are we going to do? Jesus' peace. He wasn't worried about the storms because the storms couldn't kill him. Why could they not kill him? Because it hadn't been prophesied to be so. The word didn't say it would be that way. The word said he'd be hung on a tree. So he had enough confidence in his own word that he could sleep in the middle of a storm. Then why can't we have that same kind of confidence? We go through things in life, and well, I can sleep at night. Well, Psalms 4 and verse 8 said, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only maketh me dwell in safety. Hello? It ain't your gun in the door next to you, the little pull-out door next to you that gives you safety. That's your own, depending on your own abilities. Listen, when some intruder comes in, chances are you're going to miss his hide anyway. Be the shakiest gun in the South. All tore up and worried about your children and fretting and carrying on. Listen, the gun is only a temporary safety. Matter of fact, he might take it from me and shoot you with it. But I tell you what, I got a gun. Well, so does he probably. What you need is him. Only he maketh me dwell in safety. Psalms 29 and verse 11 says, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. What does that mean, Brother Timothy? You mean I'm going to not have any storms to go through and I'm not going to have any trials? That's the kind of peace. No, it's the kind of peace humans want. That ain't the kind of peace God gives. God gives peace in the middle of a storm. Yes. Psalms 37 and verse 1 says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as green herbs. But trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy ways in the Lord, trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he sees that his day is coming. Hallelujah. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow and cast down the poor and the needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their swords shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Oh, come on, somebody. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs, and they shall consume. Under the smoke shall they be consumed away. The wicked barreth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they shall be cursed of him that cut it off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein with it forever. But the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Oh, none of his steps shall slide. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he's judged. My God, are we hearing what we're here talking about tonight? The Lord will not leave you in that wicked Haman's hand. Neither will he condemn you when you're judged. Because he already took your judgment. Wait on the Lord. Keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a great bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark, the perfect man. No, that's not talking about you, Brother Mark. Maybe it is. Mark, the perfect man. I just take that. Mark, the perfect man. And behold, the upright, for the end of that man. The end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help him and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. So his end is going to be in peace. Why? Because he trusts. Numbers 6 and verse 24. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his son, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel. How many? The spiritual seed of Abraham. Amen. So I'm going to bless you as the spiritual seed of Abraham. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Let's stand together. Musicians could come. I'll leave you with one last verse. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. Amen. Put that up. I think it's Thessalonians. My bad. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 16. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. Amen. I can't be with you everywhere. Probably wouldn't be doing any good if I could be. Brother Tim can't. We can't always be in great meetings. But the Lord is always with us. So that no matter what we're going through and the trials that we face, sicknesses, he took it. Sin, He took it. He took the chastisement so I could have peace. He took those stripes so that tonight you could lay your fret down and your worry and take peace. For the Lord of peace himself will give you peace always by all means. So in other words, by any means possible, any way possible, he's there with peace. He's there to lift you up. When you're struggling, you don't know, God, I don't know how this is going to work out. Don't worry about it. He's got it. He said, I know the way you take, and you'll come out as precious gold. He knows all about it. He's with you. He's with you. I can't always be there, but he can. I can't always be on a phone call, but he's just one whisper away. And he hears the slightest cry of the heart. Yes, he does. Let's bow our hearts together. Faith brings peace. So if you're not at peace tonight, well, then first thing you need to do is, where are you looking? And what are you looking with? If you look through his eyes, all sickness is healed. All sins are forgiven, been paid for. Look through his eyes. He's already taken your judgment. He's already taken your worry and your fear. Well, I don't know how this is going to work out. Quit worrying about it. God's got it. And he's going to give you peace by all means. Father, help us, Lord, tonight, I pray. So easy, Lord, for our old eyes to look at all the darkness around us and the things that troubles us, situations that we can't control, sicknesses and this, that, and the other. But Lord, if we'll just look at you and have faith in your word that you spoke, then we can have peace. And that peace won't be dependent on if the boat is still or if the boat's bobbing up and down, we've lost our peace, or but Lord, it's a peace that the world didn't give and the world can't take away. It's God's peace. It's your peace. Lord, I'm so thankful you come and took my stripes. Come and took those bruises, thorns upon your head, the smite against your face, the rip at your beard, the spit. You took it all so that I could have peace. You took all of the stripes, Lord, the cat of nine tails that just ripped your body to shreds, hung on that Roman cross, never had committed one sin, never done one wrong, but you took it for me. You took it for this congregation. You took it for people around this world so we can have peace. So we can have faith in your word, Lord. A word that won't fail. A word that is still standing strong today as it ever was. A blood that has never lost its power. But Lord, it'll cleanse every vilest sinner. It'll heal every sickness. It'll open the blinded eyes. It'll move in impossible situations. That blood that was shed from that body so that I could have peace in the middle of my storm. Father, bless your people tonight. I didn't ask for hands, but Lord, I'm sure there'd be hands lifted all over this building, Lord, with desire, touch from you. Just a reminder, Lord, in your word, where they are, that you know where they are and what they're going through in the situation, and you're in control. Bless your people. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for being in us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can call upon you in our time of need and situations that we go through. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Was blind, but now. Lord tonight. Amen. We appreciate Brother Timothy and the ministry of the word. One day.